Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Hey, good show planned for you today. We take a look into, we solve a vexing baseboard problem.
Yeah, vexing baseboards and crazy Stringer talk.
Yeah, not Stromer, but Stringer.
That's right, Eric Stringer.
I'm pretty proud of my baseboard.
I think you are a genius and doggone it, I'm proud to be a member of your clan here.
Well, speaking of being proud, we're proud to be associated with ADT. This episode brought to you by ADT, the nation's number one smart home security provider. All the latest innovation in smart home security plus 24/7 monitoring. A team of pros design and install a secure smart home system just for you, and they have 18,000 employees with connected to first responders and monitors, so they're always watching, always looking out for you. Secure smart home, video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app on your phone or your voice. How about that technology? Professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors as well. Super important, especially if you have kids. Safety on the go with the ADT Go app, and it's got the SOS button in case there's an emergency. It is ADT.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it,
yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get them in. Get it on. Thanks for listening to Ace on the House, or as Pops Corolla calls it, Ace on the Roof, man.
The way you say that, it's like a bottle rocket is just taking off its platform, right?
Woo, man. Up early and on the move,
how
man.
Come? Why do you do it? How do you do it?
Well, thank you for asking, Eric Stromer. Today is the day the maids come to the house.
Ooh.
And because I'm the comedian who earns all the money, I also have to be the person who cleans my office. I want them to vacuum and stuff, and I have to run after my kids and tell them to pick up their room.
Before they come.
Before the maids come.
Because otherwise all the stuff gets confused and lost.
It's in my kids' room's a shit show, and you can't run a vacuum with a bunch of boxes for remote cars open and trash everywhere.
And then they all bitch when their stuff's lost because the maid had to move it to get it out of the way so that they could clean.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I live a parallel life.
I have to get up early and clean. I'm also building my home theater, so I'm kind of really working that home theater and trying to figure that one out as I go.
And have you decided what the first feature film will be that you see in the home theater?
Taboo 2.
Oh,
Daddy's going to be alone.
Daddy's alone.
Out, I say. No one has earned this. I literally have asked people in my family if they would like to go into the room and see what's going on. Yeah. The answer is no. They've all taken a pass on entering the room.
I'll come over and check it out.
Well, during you can come over during Sex Boat.
Ooh.
But Kimmel's going to be there with me on that one. Now, if anyone wants to know why they should feel sorry for Adam Carolla.
Yeah, why?
Why?
Why? Let me ask you. Hey, why should we feel sorry for Adam?
You got
Carolla?
It all. Looks and cooks. You got everything.
Yeah.
Why should you feel sorry for Adam Carolla?
Yeah, why?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. You shouldn't feel sorry for me that I pay for a full-time nanny even though I have teenage kids.
True. And we can't hate you because you're beautiful.
You can't hate me because I'm beautiful, and you shouldn't hate me that even though everyone is just flopping around my house all day, I still have to pay maids to come clean around them with a full-time nanny with kids that don't need really any nannying at this point.
Yeah.
No, that's
some
not.
Some might say overstaffed.
Not,
go ahead.
That's not why you should feel sorry for the ace man.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Why you should feel sorry for me
is
when the maids show up at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
it's my job to let them in.
Ooh.
That's why you should feel sorry for them.
Yeah, because you could get an extra wink there.
The doorbell will ring, and yeah. I'll just sort of sit there looking around sometimes going, what would happen if I wasn't here? Yeah. The answer is they wouldn't get in.
Yeah.
It's a little nutty, but it is also my job to let them in.
Yeah. I feel I do feel
now
sorry
you feel
for
sorry
you.
For
I
me,
do.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Paying, no big deal.
No.
Now the nanny, no big deal. Yeah. But letting them in.
Yeah.
It's my job.
Aye.
I have to keep on top of that, yeah. Otherwise they won't come in.
No.
All right. So that's why you should feel sorry for Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Now I'm working on a home theater.
Yeah. And so what are you working on? Well, God, I just finished. It's almost done. The glass. I got the white lamb glass that's going to go over the light boxes that I designed that are going to go behind the liquor bottles that are all on multicolor LED light strips.
Mm.
And man, when you turn that sucker on and it glows and makes the liquor have a different color if you need it. It's all custom made and just unbelievable.
And that it's fun. You know, one of the parts that people kind of forget about with the building process is when you have to order something special, like some glass or some mirrored doors or some mirrors or something framed or something like that.
Someone's got to design that, don't they?
Door fronts, drawer fronts, things like that. The excitement of when they come in.
Yeah.
And you get to put them on.
You lay it up, bam, put a little silicone around it, doom.
Did you ever get any shots of your backyard?
I sure did. Yeah. We got those.
Yeah.
Now I'm back. I was this morning up at 5:30 getting my guy's truck loaded up with new tools to get it to the other job starting over by Vermont, Hoover area, where it's become kind of fancy over there because the train line is running by USC, right? So all of a sudden the whole area is getting regentrified and there's a bunch of work going on there. So doing a whole house, kitchen, bath remodel, doing the backyard, taking down the cinder block wall, putting up a new fence.
Really?
Gorgeous job.
We're looking at the Stromer shanty town cabinetry.
Look at that. And those are big 1.5-inch pieces that, you know, we sprayed with lacquer. That's the primer there. We got a little purple vibe to it. It was 107 out there one day, and I thought, I got to do something for the guys. What did I do? I brought a fan.
Wow. Look at you.
There's the guy spraying the lacquer. That's Jose right there. He's something else. He's a fine finisher.
You're doing your 1.5-inch stock. Are you doubling up?
No, I was using MDF because that was just open shelving. So that became the bays for the open shelving.
But it's 1.5-inch thick.
Yeah.
Are you doubling up MDF?
No, I'm buying it 1.5-inch.
Really?
Yeah, they sell it that way. It's great stuff too. It looks fantastic. And
well,
clean.
Let me guess. Yeah. Are you getting it Forest ply or far west ply?
Far west.
Far west?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's by my house, only a couple blocks away.
I like those guys.
I do too. That guy, there's a guy there that's got a hip replacement. I love him to death. He was nice. He guided me through.
Hey, there's nothing. Look, you can go to your Home Depots of the world and get your coarse thread buglehead drywall screws, but there's nothing better than talking to a dude behind the counter
that knows.
Who knows?
They know.
Pulls out that big bracelet swatch of laminates and throws it down.
Goes, pick one.
Starts talking to you. It's like, for Mike is fine, but I like Wilson Art.
And you're got
like,
a point of view, right? It's great.
He wants to know, is it going to be radius work?
Yes.
Is it horizontal?
Yeah.
Is it countertop? Is it vertical?
And
what are we talking about?
And you say, I don't know, and he goes, let me suggest something. And you're like, oh my God, I'm home.
Then he's got some real strong opinions about the water-soluble contact cement versus the lacquer-based stuff.
I like the lacquer-based stuff. Actually, I bought the water-based stuff, and it's immediate and fantastic. It really sets up nice.
Lays up nice.
Yeah.
Maybe you splurge and you buy one of those rubber rolling wheels.
Oh, I got one.
You got a rubber
roller? You know I did.
That was always too rich for my blood.
No,
I actually had
two at one point going at both arms, ambidextrous.
Wow.
Yes.
You're laying up a lot of
lamb. Lay it up, lammy baby doll.
I laid up this console myself. I was so...
They look lost at this point.
Laying up lamb.
You put it. You spray adhesive on your piece of wood.
Yeah.
And then
hold on.
Go ahead.
You don't need to spray adhesive on there.
Well,
you can roll it on with like a weenie roller.
I have a compressor, so I spray it.
Oh, okay. Look at you. Well, I was thinking of the 3M can.
Yeah, no. I have it.
Yeah, I got it.
Can.
Go ahead.
Sprayed it up.
Both sides. The Formica and the countertop it's going to.
Right, and then it has double sticky component to it, and then you just lay it down on that area, and you roll it out smooth. You got to have no air bubbles. You got to do it perfectly.
But here's the rub.
Yes.
Here's the rub. Let me rub one out for you.
Do it. What's the movie we're watching?
You can't. We're watching Taboo 2. I'm watching Taboo 2. You guys, you and Kimmel and Gary are going to watch Sex Boat.
Gotcha.
That's number two. That's after, that's after
Will there be the usual perfunctory pump tub of lube available?
Well, it's not going to be. It's going to be butter flavored because I have a theme. You know, we're in a theater.
Of course you are. Thank you.
But the regular pump thing, I've got the theater.
Yeah.
You don't be a two pump chump.
Would you like butter flavoring?
All right. Each side
yes.
has to be completely dry.
Yeah.
To the touch. You will touch the laminate. You will touch the counter or the surface it's going to. It will feel bone dry. And then when it touches, it is welded together.
Can't move it ever again.
So when I put this console together, I built this console. I did like a perfunctory job. Like I was like, you can see there's a crease here at the top and stuff. It's stuff if I was doing this for a client, I would have bondoed it and worked it a little more and stuff. I wanted to make it good enough to be a working console. Yep. So,
wait, did you do this?
Yes, I did.
You did this? This looks great.
I feel like that's been implied. During the earlier parts of our conversation.
I can attest. I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought this was a custom-made rack that you had built from some fancy professional place. You did this?
I just built this in the back, I think.
It's fantastic, man.
I just built it here. And the thing about this console it was really sort of the shape and the size, like how wide, how deep, how far over, indentation for me. How we're going to finish the edges off.
Is that ergonomically measured for exactly your torso width?
I just kind of laid it out and drew it out. Was trying to kind of vibe it out.
Yeah.
And then I cut it out and I set it here. The brains of this operation was fabricating up the legs with the hollow core, with the hollow tubing in it, and running all the wires through a hole in the leg and then running them down the floor and into
great.
The console.
This is great.
Right. But when I was here, I was like, I ordered this, and I don't know why I ordered this weird red bamboo lamb, but I just thought it was cool. So I ordered a sheet of it, and I waited, and it showed up like Friday afternoon at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And my guys are all going home, and I was like, it's kind of a two-manner to lay this thing up. But I just came back on Saturday because I was pumped to get to the laminate and to lay it up.
Yeah.
So I just came out here and I cut it all out and I did all the sticks.
And then did you cut the radius? Like, how'd you get this radius for the whole swoop of the entire unit? What'd you do?
I don't have a bandsaw that would work well for this, and I can't do it on a circular saw. So I'm guessing I did it on a jigsaw,
but I
don't really remember exactly. I didn't do it with a router and a jig or anything of that nature.
So maybe you did it freehand, is what
probably
you said.
Freehanded this bad boy. But
good stuff, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so
have people seen the desk here? Let's take a picture of it. Show it to them.
The picture for this week's episode of you two that'll be on the website. We'll have you guys standing in front of the console.
All right, good.
Yes. All right. Let me tell you about manscaping. Speaking of not wanting to get a jigsaw.
No, heck no.
In that region.
In the nether regions.
That's right. You can support for Ace on the House comes from Manscaped, number one in men's below the belt grooming.
By the way, I tried that thing the other day. It worked just fine, and now I look like a Ken doll.
You always look like a Ken doll. Precision engineered tools for the family jewels, man.
Yes, sir.
Manscaping. Accidents are finally a thing of the past. You don't have to worry about the nicks and the cuts, man. And also, you don't want to use the same device you use to trim your sideburns.
No, you don't.
Shape your mustache down in your nutsack down there.
That's right.
They have a redesigned electric trimmer. They call it their lawnmower 2.0. has proprietary skin-safe technology.
Wow.
So let's get – these guys are good guys. They're in San Diego. They're local. Their company is growing, and you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ACE at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ACE. All right, we got a call up there from Denver. Let's see, Jeff from Denver. Jeff?
Hey, Stromer, get on.
Hey. Get it on, man.
I was wondering if you could help me out. I've got a house that we just bought that had quite a lot of trim that we're replacing, had really ugly base case, picture molding, chair rail, crown everywhere. And we took it all out only to discover that, one, the baseboard was an inch thick, and two, for some reason, when they built the house, they installed the trim first and then tiled up to it with the terracotta tile that we're trying to save. I had two questions.
Hold on. All right. What year's the house?
85.
Mm.
So if you take the trim out, you're going to have a big one-inch strip around the whole outside.
I already did.
Yeah.
85
exactly.
85 is a bad year for tile.
Yeah.
It's a bad year for tile. I'll tell you, bad years for Playboy, bad years for tile, bad years for American cars. 85 basically covers all of it.
Yeah.
It's a tough year for tile, and it's even tougher for terracotta.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
It looks okay. It looks kind of like brick, and we like it. We're going to keep it and do the rest of the house modern. But the question I had was, when replacing the trim, should I try to get inch-thick baseboard to go back into that gap, or should I try to go a little proud of that to sit on top of it so that I don't have to try to mess with either grouting or caulking that seam where it doesn't fit perfectly? That was question one. And question two was, I wanted to see if I could get your gay opinion on how I can get a trim profile that's not going to look super thick and clunky without being really busy, because we're going for a very modern look.
All right. Let's see. Thoughts. All right. I'm going to throw out a few things. One is, you're not going to find 1-inch thick trim at Home Depot or Lowe's or any of that shit. Might have to go out to Far West Ply.
Yeah, sir.
It's a long drive from Denver, but you're gonna have to go to a wood supply hardwood place, most likely. I don't see anything at Home Depot. Now, what you might find at Home Depot, maybe it'd be an MDF type product, is something that was an inch thick at the bottom and then stepped up. So you might be able to fill that gap with the 1 inch at the bottom and then have it step up to a thinner mold or trim. But it's going to be hard to find that. Now, you can and you could find something that was 3/4 and then drop in some base shoe. I hate to say quarter round. Quarter round would fill the gap.
You hate
it. I don't like
it. You don't like it.
It's amateur hour.
But if you're doing modern, you could square it all up and have that base shoe be square.
Yeah.
Along with the baseboard. That might be kind of cool looking.
It might be. If you want a modern look and you don't want something thick,
don't go round.
You could go with a baseboard that was modern, that was a 1x, with kind of just a broken outer edge, and then do the same with a piece of 1/2-inch material along the bottom, and that would make up your gap. So break it into like baseboard and base shoe, if you follow me, Jeff.
Yep.
And the other way.
And it wouldn't look clunky and bulky.
And the other thing is that if you do the grout route around the perimeter of the room and do less of a thick profile, that's a pain in the ass on terracotta, because it will never look the same as the grout joints that are there, because they're probably from – they're from 86, right? So everything's going to be tonally different. So I'd go Adam's route.
Okay. So – and then there's some other things. Like if you're going for a modern look – and you have this 80s terracotta thing going on, and you like the vibe of it, you know, there is such a thing as painting it, and you get all the kind of texture and the vibe and everything, but with a modern look.
You mean on the paint the terracotta?
I mean paint the terracotta.
Really?
You ever thought about that, Jeff?
thought about it. We've got two dogs, and the smaller one is 70 pounds. The bigger one's 150.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit nervous just in terms of that getting scratched up worse than just the tile will.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's possible. Here's what I'm saying, Jeff. If you're looking for a modern look and you have the terracotta, now, if you painted the whole thing, then you could just go with the 1x3/4 base, yeah, and grout up to it,
yeah,
and then just paint the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you paint it, you put clear over it. You put like the gym floor stuff over it.
Right.
It brings it out. It gives it depth. It protects it too. Like if you have hardwood floors, you have clear. I have hardwood floors throughout. I have a big fat dumb dog who runs around all over the place. He's on the clear,
and it holds up.
It's holding up. Goddamn! Phil woke me up this morning, man. He just hit me with one of his big yawns where his tongue like goes.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And then he starts licking my face. I don't know. What motivates a dog? Like, he does it once every 17 days.
But do you think that your face is riddled with bacon fat or sort of juice?
Possibly.
Why else would one lick your face?
He licks my armpit, too.
He does?
His favorite move is licking you behind the knee if you wear shorts, like when you come walking. But only when you come home. He's over you by the time you've been there for an hour. Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
So... 1x base, which you could do, and grout to it, paint the whole thing, and then put a couple coats of clear over it, or 1x base and go with a base shoe that you might have to mill or
make
that,
it square.
You know what'll work for your base shoe? You know what doorstop is, Jeff?
Yes. The piece that goes in the middle of the jam to stop the door.
Yeah.
That's right.
The one.
That's right. Doorstop is about 3/8 thick.
Yeah.
Like a quarter plus.
And it's
about, not quite,
what
not quite half an inch.
It's like an inch and a half, right?
It's about an inch and a quarter, inch, yeah, and 3/8 wide.
Right.
Right. Right? But here's why I like doorstop. It's rounded. It's broke on one side and square on the other.
Yeah.
Put the square side against the ground.
Oh.
Put the broke side up. You'll have 3/4 plus that quarter plus, you know, the 3/8 or whatever the doorstop is. That'll get you your inch. Use the 1x6 against for the baseboard, and you're fucking home free. You're goddamn welcome.
But if you're only getting 10-foot runs and you got longer than that, make sure you back cut that stuff when you put it on the – don't just put two square butted ends together. It looks like shit. You don't understand?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Man, you're done. You're home.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks, sir. Jeff. Jesus Christ.
Why am I not
celebrated?
I feel that you are
celebrating me?
Duh.
Why do I have to let the maids in? I don't feel like that's being celebrated.
As you said last night on a different show, which I thought was very apt, you will not be celebrated in your time.
Not my time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many decades after, Gary, would you assume until Adam is celebrated with some sort of statue in a plaza?
I would hope it wouldn't even take a full decade.
Really?
Deservingly so. I mean, there's you know, Hall of Fame voting and stuff that gets a little wonky, but I would think it would be pretty immediate.
So 5 years.
Gary may be celebrated, but just momentarily. For finding a video of me putting together the console or laying up the console.
Well, let's not get too crazy with the celebration. It's a video of you laying out the laminate on the top portion of the console, the portion that is kind of above where your arms are resting right now. And this is from several years ago before I was schooled in how to take videos horizontally versus vertically. So I apologize. I've learned since then.
You didn't go landscape.
Wow.
Oh, I'm trimming the top off.
Oh.
Router trimmer, man.
Yeah.
Use your router trimmer.
Yeah.
I ran some tape along the front because I had a bearing. I didn't want the bearing to gouge it.
Very nice work.
Wow. Gary, thanks for filming this. I forgot we did this. There's Jay Miller working, right?
Yep, you'll see the other Gary in a moment.
see the other. Oh, Gary Butters is in there. Wow. All right, well, there. Proof that I built this console.
And if you're curious, February 2012.
February 2012.
By the way,
thank you, Gary.
I don't see much of a difference in that body as today versus then.
Well, thank you.
Somebody's doing it.
Somebody's trying to get a seat in the theater for the premiere of Sex Boat.
Duh. Speaking of Sex Boat, summer's sizzling. Are you cooking in your clothes? Tommy John has a solution. Cool cotton underwear for men and women. Breathable, lightweight fibers keeping you 2 to 3 times cooler and dry 4 to 5 times faster than regular cotton. Men's underwear features a contour pouch to keep you neat and nestled, plus a quick draw fly for rapid deployment. Got to get in and out. Mm-hmm. Men's and women's underwear have a no wedgie guarantee and legs that never ride up. Waistbands never roll down, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Maddie?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam. Check them out, guys. Everyone here wears them.
Oh, I'm wearing them right now.
I got 2 pair on right now.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Double bag.
That's me. I got to have it packed in and nestled tight.
I did. I'm wearing mine. But I give a shot of the talc. I'm telling you, man, I get 4 or 5 wearings out of my Tommy Johns, even during the summer, because I just give it a shot of talc.
I just reverse them. I reverse them and turn them around. That's it.
So you're going to start a job with a full, not a full house remodel.
So now I've had to expand. I got now 3 crews going on 3 different jobs, which is always a little squirrely because, you know, you show up to one and the guy's sleeping on the insulation and you're like,
sure.
Jose, where's your brother? Oh, he's sleeping, man. Sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it's that. It's the management of all of it that kind of gets me a little nutty. And unfortunately, the one is, you know, in that direction. The other one's in a far other direction. One's in Malibu. So I'm literally in the trifecta of hell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My whole life spent driving around, ordering stuff and going to suppliers, you know?
Day goes by quick, though, when you're kind of out on the road doing your own thing.
Well, here's my favorite thing, and I think most folks would agree. You get a chance to see parts of the city you've never been to and find new restaurants that have exciting cuisine. I'm a huge fan of eating out. I love it. So it's always fun.
Yeah, when I used to work installing closets for ABC Closets.
You're talking about ABC Closets.
Always better closets.
I like how you threw in a little wink, kind of, when you said it.
Oh, I work for ABC Closets and A&B Carpet Cleaning.
Yeah.
Again, that's back when you had to be at the front of the phone book.
Sure. That's tough.
Now, the guy who was wildly confident in the carpet cleaning game, Z-Best Carpet Cleaning.
Ooh, he doesn't give a shit. That was at the back.
That was Barry Minko.
Ooh.
He was,
the Mink, they used to call him.
He was this whiz kid. They would do newspaper articles on him and stuff. By the time the kid was like 16 and a half, he had like a fleet of carpet cleaning vans. He later got busted for some like violation of like the RICO Act or some racketeering or something and ended up going to federal prison. But he got out of the gate pretty good.
Yeah, but what do you mean? What did he get caught doing?
His name was Barry Minko.
Yeah.
He's out now.
Yeah.
He was a big Valley guy.
Yeah.
He was a big success story. This guy had a bunch of carpet cleaning vans.
Right.
At the, you know, by the time he was 20, he had 15 vans and a crew of 80 people.
Right.
And
entertaining the ladies with some cocaine, I would imagine.
At some point, well, it was the San Fernando Valley and it was the 80s and he was successful.
Yeah.
At some point, he got something like some federal contracts to clean something was just like skimming the money or whatever it is. Gary's found it.
It was a Ponzi scheme.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
Ooh.
He got busted. He went to prison for some time and then he got out. And by the way, I think he's doing like motivational speaking now.
Let me ask you a question. Mm. When you go to the federal prison and it's the white collar crime, do you have fear that you're going to get shanked, or is it more like a nice a shitty hotel with a bunch of crazy guys in it.
7 years inside. I have talked to Garrigus about this before. Sometimes you go to Club Fed, and then sometimes you're just in a regular prison.
Oh, like, are you really? It's for white-collar stuff, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I was trying to convince my wife became a pastor in San Diego. My wife's got a friend whose husband ended up having to go to the slammer because he was skimming money from, you know, investment funds. And I said, don't worry, it's gonna be like a vacation for him. You know, it's white collar crime. He's gonna probably be, you know, hanging out playing board games and stuff. But you're saying he might end up in a federal hardcore prison.
According to Garrigus, it happens. Jeez. Also, I don't know. I'm always a little confused as the, Barry Minko, he gets 7 years inside the joint for a Ponzi scheme. And then there are guys who are like, well, I tried to kill this guy with the cinder block, but he went into a coma, but then he came out of the coma. So I didn't get manslaughter, second degree murder. I tried to kill him with a cinder block, but the guy lived. And I got 6 years.
Right.
I'm kind of like, I don't know. I feel weird. I feel weird that like tax evasion will get you the same amount as stabbing someone, provided that person makes it through the stabbing.
Right. That seems a little unfair.
As a member of society, I just would rather have the guy who cheated on his taxes wandering around than the guy who thought it'd be a good idea to stab a guy at a bus stop randomly.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you kind of feel that way? I'll bet the guy who does the stabbing doesn't pay a lot in taxes. Maybe we can find some common ground here. Not usually big contributors.
No.
So, makes crazy guy who stabs someone but they live, get about the same time Wesley Snipes gets.
Did Wesley Snipes really go to the slammer?
Yeah.
Blade's own Wesley Snipes?
Blade's own. Jeez. A film about Minko came out in 2018.
So I'm learning it's featuring Mark Hamill and Ving Rhames.
Wait, Mark Hamill of Star Wars fame? Who's Mark Hamill?
Mark Hamill's from Star Wars.
That's the guy. Yeah, okay. That's Luke Skywalker? Holy
it's
mackerel.
It's like working with a newborn. It is.
I know. Well, you know.
Wait, did you lay up that console?
Yeah.
I know, yes, right. I did.
Yourself? It looks really professional.
No, Luke Skywalker helped.
Luke Skywalker. So, Ving Rhames, was he playing Barry Minko? No? Well, then who?
I think he was playing Alan Dershowitz.
Oh, okay. He's playing his attorney. I bet he's playing a guy he met in prison.
That's right.
That sounds like where Ving...
It's a high percentage guess.
Ving does a lot of his shooting from the joint.
That's right.
All right. But anyway, Barry's found Jesus Christ.
Well, Barry got into a little bit more legal trouble in the late 2000s where he had a judgment levied against him for $584 million.
Why?
He apparently got into some insider training nonsense, and apparently something he did... it was determined tanked the stock of a company called Lennar by that amount. So they judged the loss of the company for whatever stock nonsense he did that caused a bunch of people to sell their stock. They levied that against him.
Well, either way, that guy got out of the gate good.
Yeah.
When he was 18, he had like a fleet of vans.
And then the power got to him. You know, he kept wanting more and more.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes.
He got drunk with power.
Yeah, he did.
Which is not unlike our own Matt Fondelier, but he got drunk from spunk, which is different. He's got spunk drunk, whereas Barry got power. And, you know, if you have a wish for your son, you wish they don't get drunk. Well, but you don't want them to get drunk with anything. But if only A or B, drunk on power or spunk drunk.
Yeah.
You got to go drunk on power. I'm sorry, Matt. I have a son.
It's okay.
What can I do? Like, my hand was forced.
It is
forced. I got to decide. It's not an indictment of you. I have a young boy. He looks up to me. I have to make decisions.
Your son will not be drunk with spunk.
No, Matt.
Such good parenting.
The spunk bullet.
This is such good parenting.
I'm going to have to sit down and talk with him about being drunk.
That's right.
with power versus drunk right. with spunk.
Right.
Okay. And again, I got an A or a B. If there was a third box yeah. of sober, I would have checked it. It wasn't on the application.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was not. I'm sorry, Matt. Rules are rules. You understand. I hope you understand.
I do. I'll get by. All right.
I just pray your parents aren't listening to the show.
Too.
I pray.
Poor Mr. Fondelier.
Curtis?
Yes.
Let's see. 33, Spokane. What's going on?
Thanks to both of you guys for taking my call. I just recently remodeled my bathroom, and when I did, I re-plumbed the shower and that whole setup there. And when I went to go and turn it on and test it out for the first time, I found that the tub, when you turn on the tub spout, it also leaks out of the shower. And before you pull the diverter on the spout or on the tub, it just trickles out of there. And it only does it like when you're spinning the dial and it's just cold and the pressure hasn't built up, it doesn't do it. But then once it mixes in with the hot and the pressure builds, then it leaks through. I replaced the cartridge in the head itself. It's not leaking around the head, like the fitting or anything. It's just kind of spitting out the front. And I've read, you know, water pressure can cause it. And other people say that's bullshit. And I just can't figure it out. And it's kind of annoying having a brand new bathroom. And, every time you turn the tub on, water kind of sprinkles onto the spout and sprays everywhere.
So when you turn the tub spigot on, it still comes out of the shower head. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but slowly. So like if you right. turn it on cold, it starts with cold and then it's coming out of the tub just fine, spilling. And then once you increase it over to the hot and it gets a little bit more pressure, then it's not like forceful. It's just mm-hmm. like residual. It's trickling.
Yeah. So it's defying gravity, right?
Correct. Yes.
And the diverter's not, the diverter doesn't sound like it's failing. The
yeah, that's not fully diverting.
So right. That would be. Yep.
So it must be the fixture itself. That's the diverter stinks.
There's there's a bad valve. I'm a bad washer, bad whatever in the diverter. Now look, water pressure, water needs to be regulated, and you need to figure out what's coming in from the city and possibly regulate that as in bring it down to, I don't know, Gary, you can look up. What do they want, 75, 80 pounds of pressure? I'm trying to think of what a standard – sorry, go ahead, Curtis.
I was going to say, I think it should be more for residential in the 60 pounds
in the
range.
60s.
And I'm on an irrigation district, so I get about – depending on what they're doing with the pumps and what time of day it is, I get anywhere between 75 and I've seen it as high as 90, but it's rated.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent at 75.
It couldn't hurt. Max allowable is 80. Well, it wasn't too bad with my 75 guess. I don't know what preferable is, Gary, but I might think about a pressure regulator and putting it at the preferable setting. That might be.
Yeah, before I did my house with a pressure regulator, I was blowing washers and gaskets and stuff was leaking all the time. So that's a huge part of it. And the new fixture you put in probably can't handle the pressure.
I'm sorry. Would you do the whole house? Would you do a pressure regulating valve for the whole house? Or like,
yes.
Because I've already got it all finished and it's a tub insert. It'd be a gigantic pain in the ass to get the – I'd have to demo it basically to get that whole –
Just do the whole house.
Do the pressure regulator where the main is coming into the whole house.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's like a maybe $150 with a plumber.
Start there and see what happens. If that doesn't work – or help, then we'll move on to the diverter.
Okay.
But start with the whole house pressure regulator.
And worst case scenario, you could just swap out. Well, you said you tried the cartridge already, right? You switched that out?
I pulled it out because when I put it up at first, it was just doing it like crazy. And when I pulled it out, the washer had kind of not set fully, not seated fully. And so when I pulled it back, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe that's it. Got a different one that was a little more sturdy and poked it all the way down in there, make sure it was seated well, and got it, you know, tightened back up. And the damn thing just still wants to puke a little. So,
yeah. Gary, what's preferable residential PSI for water coming in from the city? They'll give you a range. How's your wife with this activity, Curtis?
She is very happy that overall it's done. She was, supportive and driver behind the whole thing. We demoed the whole thing. This time last month, it was still a 70s bathroom, and now it's done. We knocked it out, just between me and her, we knocked it out fairly quick. So nice. she's good and happy and supportive and all that. She doesn't like the hiccups, the post remodel, you know, what's this problem now kind of things, as I don't either, but you know, because it's just the little things. Everything else is nice and done and sealed and watertight and great. And
what's your line? What line are you in, Curtis, as they used to say? What's your business?
I actually work for the city of Spokane now, but my background is HVAC. I went to school for HVAC. I actually called into you and Dr. Drew two weeks ago or so too. I was also in the Army back in the day. So
I like the cut of your jib, son.
Yeah, right. Thanks for your service, Curtis.
Gary, what do you got?
It's saying here that low end is 45 and high end is 80. So I'm putting it around 60, 65.
Okay.
So that's just based on my average.
Yeah, all right. We'll set it down to that and see what happens. That's Stromer?
Right. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk. How about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything? Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's right. Extra money in your pocket. That's the most rewarding to do you can do today. Geico.com. Please check out Geico.com. Great rates, great policies, great insurance. Geico.com.
All right. Matt, you have a email question?
Yeah, we do have an email question, and please email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Here is, aceontheroof.com if you want to see the pics. Here is one from Tyler in Seattle. Hey guys, I'm trying to add a deck stair set to my second story of my deck and balcony. Mm-hmm. I've looked into a spiral staircase, but it was much higher cost than using wood. Also, I would like this to be a wide set of steps for moving in furniture since it's a split level with a narrow front staircase. The total rise is 90 inches from the top of the deck boards to the ground. I'm hoping to have a set of steps built by a contractor, probably a few steps that run along the side of the house to a landing, then turn right to another landing, then a few more steps down to the ground level. I don't have time to tackle this on my own because of a remodel I'm doing. Can you give me an idea of what a contractor should be charging for this job? And if there's anything cool you think I should ask him to include in the job? Thanks.
By the way, I would put the stairs to the right of the deck, because it to me it looks awkward hanging off there, just that corner. It looks weird.
We're looking at a deck that's just coming out from the second story of the house.
If you put the stairs coming down to the right, I think that would really complete it and look better.
All right, so it's a deck. Well, let me just paint the picture, people. So it looks to be about 18 feet wide or so, maybe about 14 feet deep or 16 feet deep. Just a square wooden deck. Second floor, sticking out, wood railing, all very traditional looking. I don't know. You know, the thing about doing stairs are not, you know, there's two things for contractors, stairs and door hanging. That's not for the amateur. That's not for the handyman. You need someone who really knows his way around a speed square and a hip valve square and can do stringers and treads and risers and all that kind of stuff. You're going to need a concrete pad probably to begin, you know, to step off from. Yeah. Be a good idea to form a nice kind of landing pad. So there's going to be some concrete, some excavation. Then you're going to need, if you want to go up and do it in two stages, go up one, have a landing, turn the corner and go the other way. You're going to need another concrete pad to put those posts on, or at least you're going to have to pour some posts and some pads for the second set. The materials aren't that much. It's kind of all labor. I don't know. I think they sell, weren't you saying, Stromer, they sell prefab stringers
they do.
Now?
They sell prefab stringers at big box stores. And worst case scenario, if you wanted to try and do it yourself, you could use one.
Hold on. Home Depot sells prefab stringers?
Yes. Yeah.
Gary, verify that.
And you could use that to just trace it on a, you know, a piece of 2x12, you know, and just keep repeating that pattern if you were confused about the rise and run of stringers, right?
Yeah, but I'd just buy, if somebody made some MDF prefab stringer, I'd just buy it all. I'd just buy them.
Look at that.
I have them. Results?
Outdoor stringers.
Outdoor stringers. What's the one? 20, 42. Give me the $42 one.
That's
what's
a redwood
it,
one,
what's
probably.
It say? It says 8-step pressure treated cedar tone pine stair stringer. What treads in the risers? Yeah. What size are we talking about? Show me that bad boy.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's like $42. Hell, let's go
get two of those.
Making stringers is a bitch. I got to tell you what, man.
That's a deal.
Good.
Isn't it?
And now they probably make treads and risers too. I'm guessing. I don't know. What's the smell like to you? I feel like
3,500.
I was going to – and where's this guy calling – where's he from, Matt? Because that's 3,500 for you and your Malibu friends.
Seattle.
Yeah.
That's 3,500. Between, you know, because you got to get your decking and redwood and handrail. That's going to – you know, that's at least $1,500 bucks of material.
And then
your pad. I'd even go 4,500.
Would you? Yeah, I don't know how much the redwood and the material is. It ain't – look – you're not. You shouldn't pay over $5,000.
But don't you think he should come down to the right?
Yes.
It would look. It would complete the back of the house. To me, it would look much better.
I don't think you're going to get out of this one for under $3,000.
Right.
Okay. All right.
You could also just save a ton of money and prop that ladder in the picture against the railing.
Yeah, just go ahead and lean it there in case someone wants to rob.
Yeah, there you go.
The second floor. All right, Gary, remove the visual aspect of the show.
Wait, have we honored Gary and his baby yet? He's got a baby now, stinking Gary. He's got a baby, for Christ's sake.
We honor you, Gary.
Hope he doesn't get spunk drunk.
What's his kid's name, Eric Stromer?
Well, he's going to either be drunk with power or...
I'd prefer power.
Do we know this child's name yet?
Don't let Matt hold him then.
You didn't want to consider like Eric or Adam or anything like that?
You know, that bit just does not get old. As your wife gets more and more pregnant, that bit out of every white male that you encounter, it just it gets funnier. Yeah. It really does.
Okay. You haven't heard me say it, have you?
Yeah. No, because it's not funny.
Right.
He's got a delivery that'll kill
you. But every straight male aside from you, that is their bit.
See, now you know what I do when I have to travel with Mike August and explain to him I'm a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he goes, you let him do it.
We need a ball puller for Seattle. Ball puller! Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Hey, that never gets old.
Never gets old, except for the first time and every time after. 1 week from today, the 17th, I'll be at Monterey, Golden State Theater.
Ooh, that's where you're – wait, did you do the driving yet?
No.
When's that?
That's 1 week.
That's what that is? I'm a newbie here, for God's
sake.
You have to understand, I don't listen very often. So when I do, it's an amazing thing.
I know. 1 week from today, Monterey, Golden State Theater with Adam Ray. I will be driving a race car.
Okay.
That night, I will be at the Golden State Theater doing stand-up.
I see. Okay.
With Adam
That's
Ray.
Where I got
and
confused.
Adam Carolla's Unprepared.
Yeah.
You can go to adamcarolla.com and find shows everywhere you want to go. You can check out my stand-up special, Not Taco Bell Material, and go on IMDb and give it a nice review. I read them. I appreciate them. And you can get that at Chassis, Chassy, and you can go to adamcarolla.com for everything you need. And if you want to support the show, you visit aceontheroof.com, click the PayPal button, and subscribe, man. Let's get Stromer a new truck.
Yes, finally.
You can also check out Launchpad DM on Podcast One. Help people find your podcast. So if you got a podcast and you want to get it out there, you can sign up today at launchpaddm.com. Stromer, what do you got?
Hey, I'm gonna just do things, laying low. You know what I'm gonna do? I painted the kids' rooms.
Uh-huh.
Now I gotta take the carpet out of my son's room and get that hardwood floor. I'm one of the only people in the history of the world that actually has really nice quarter sawn red oak available under carpeting. When I pulled it up, it was like, oh my God, I actually hit the jackpot.
Wow.
And I didn't have to do anything to finish it. I just put wax on it.
Nice.
Looks great.
Pull it up and enjoy. And until next time, Sam Prober, Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.